Okay, it's a Tuesday afternoon. That means we survived Monday. I'm Scoot on the air. Really glad you're with us on this Tuesday afternoon. Kind of a painful afternoon after the loss last night on Monday Night Football. And, you know, you've heard a lot of people talking about it, and it was just another one of those very disappointing losses where the Saints, you know, the Saints came out on the field like they were ready to play. They really did. They looked good. They looked really positive and strong. And then that one thing happened. One thing happened. And what happened was somebody who has been in the business for a long time made one of the most fundamental mistakes that anybody can make. And players make these fundamental mistakes, but you're not supposed to do that when you're a veteran. I'm not putting all the blame on any one player. But boy, that moment sure changed everything. But the team could have recovered from all of that. So, you know, we're going to go through some of the highlights of the game. We'll talk about the game yesterday because, I mean, in a way, this is kind of a turning point in the season. And I know it's early in the season, but when the Saints continue to beat themselves, that's a problem. And they certainly did it in the first two losses. And arguably, they did it in this loss last night. Although, look, I mean, Kansas City is a really great football team. They've won the Super Bowl twice. They're trying to make it three in a row. So they're a great team. The Saints were on the road, but the Saints have proven that they can win on the road. Look what they did against Dallas this season. So I was just really disappointed to watch the Saints kind of fall apart. And that's what happened. And I tell you, I think, if you stress out in life, you need to study Dennis Allen. You need to study Derek Carr. Because in the face of stress, in the face of something really unfortunate, something bad that happens, man, these guys remain totally calm. Man, that's an art. I think I need to study these guys. I need to figure out how to learn to be, no matter what happens, just remain totally calm. Oh, we have an IRS audit? Oh, the police are at the door? Okay, well, okay. Yeah, I'm amazed at the calm demeanor of the acceptance of the loss. And I look, they accept the loss a lot better than fans do. And I'm a fan, and I'm not so quick to accept the losses. Anyway, we'll talk about the Saints this afternoon, and I think this was a big moment. And it's not that the Saints lost; it's how they lost. And again, we're going to talk about that first moment early in the game that really set the tone. And I think there's something maybe there's been talk about this, and I simply haven't heard it, but I want to talk about an aspect of Derek Carr being in Arrowhead Stadium that I haven't heard a lot of talk about. Yeah, they've talked about him being there often because he was a quarterback for the Raiders. And the Raiders and the Chiefs, they're big rivals. So that's a big rivalry. So he's been there often. So we'll talk a little bit about that coming up. Also, you know, less than 30 days away from the presidential election, and we have politics to talk about. As I mentioned yesterday, I am so over, and I'm so just disgusted with the blatant lies that, you know, I just want to tune it out. I mean, I almost don't care anymore. I mean, people can believe whatever the hell they want to believe. But, you know, I don't have to expose myself to it. And you don't either. And I know a lot of people are getting just really, you know, I mean, there are those active talk show people. They're those active political junkies. And I've always considered myself to be a political junkie, but they're those really active political junkies. And they're really into it. I mean, they're into every moment of every day. They're watching everything that comes across social media. They're watching everything that is breaking news on the news channels or whatever. I mean, they are totally into every moment of this whole process. And then there are a hell of a lot of people who are just good Americans. They want to vote. They want to go about their lives. And you know what? They're sick of it. They're just sick of the deceit, the blatant lying, the lack of, as I mentioned yesterday, the just what happened to integrity? the lack of integrity. Kamala Harris can't stand up and say whether or not we're really a strong ally of Israel. Kamala Harris can't, you know, stand up and be honest about what she really feels. No, she's got to duck the question. Oh, let's not answer the question. We won't get in trouble if we don't answer the question. I'm telling you, the voting public in America needs to do a better job of putting pressure on politicians to answer the damn question. I don't care which side you're on. Answer the damn question. Don't be evasive. And this general lack of integrity, this tendency to lie and be deceitful because you don't want people to know what you really feel. I think that's really sad, and I think it's an insult to our founding fathers. Okay, let's see what else. All right, so the first two new episodes of Saturday Night Live have made fun of Kamala Harris and Joe Biden. Well, how can that be? So many people believe that Saturday Night Live and shows like that are nothing more than platforms for the liberal ideology in this country. They're platforms for the Democrats, and all they want to do is bash Trump and Republicans and right-wing radicals, and they never want to bash their own. And I have always argued that shows like Saturday Night Live, they're interested in the comedy. So we're going to talk a little bit about that this afternoon. I mean, is Saturday Night Live really as biased as you think? And I know when your candidate is made fun of, it really hurts. I know it does. But is it really that much worse than when they make fun of the other candidates? I don't know. Also, the boss, Bruce Springsteen, has endorsed Kamala Harris for president. Now, I think it's one thing for Taylor Swift to endorse Kamala Harris, because a lot of conservatives don't like her music. Or don't like her. But a lot of conservatives love Bruce Springsteen. They love his music. They love him. Does Bruce Springsteen's endorsement of Kamala Harris make his music a little less appealing to conservatives who love him? So we'll talk about that. Ian Hoke is our senior producer at the controls in the other studio. Good afternoon, sir.
Shh. I'm trying to remain calm.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Because after the football and the politics and the hurricane, I'm just going for the Zen approach, you know, of DA and Derek Carr can just remain calm all the time.
I know.
We can do it here too, man.
I mean, what would that be like, though? I mean, would the show be... I mean, I think the show would be totally boring if it were that calm all the time.
Ooh,
but it's an art. I mean, in the face of that loss last night, these guys, Derek Carr and Dennis Allen, are so calm. It's like nothing happened, and they're calm after every game. Look, I'm not telling somebody how they should be, and some people deal with stress and adversity differently and better than others. So I give them credit for that. But then Dennis Allen after the first loss. Dennis Allen was kind of fiery. He dropped the F-bomb, and he said a couple of other things. And then what did he do? He apologized. Man, don't apologize for showing passion. I mean, we don't want the players to go out there and go, oh, you know, God only gained a yard. I mean, okay, well, I'll do better next time. You know, I think sports fans want passion, even from their coaches and from the players.
Yeah, I wonder, like, what is the media strategy here? If you're the head coach of an NFL team, and you must have somebody, I don't know, maybe you do, somebody that works for the team or somebody else that's giving you some sort of guidance on public relations and how to deal with the media. And I don't see what is the disadvantage to raising your voice a little bit and showing some emotion and showing some passion. And it's not just Dennis Allen. You see this from a lot of head coaches, whether it's the NFL or NBA or college football. They're just like calm as a Hindu cow in every situation. And I don't, why are you doing that? Why is somebody telling you, hey, don't go out there and yell at the media. Hey, don't go out there and, you know, put your heart on your sleeve. Don't go out there and get fired up about this, because then that's going to be the story. Then that's what they're going to be talking about instead of what you want them to hear, which is, you know, well, we just didn't execute and we got to do a better job of X, Y, and Z. Like, how many times are we going to hear that? We've heard that. We've heard that a billion times. I would like to hear, I'm so mad. I'm going to go home and, you know, take a baseball bat to my car or something like that. That's the kind of press conference I'd like to see.
Well, you know, and it doesn't have to be that extreme, but I certainly understand your point. And it's something as a Saints fan that bothers me, because there seems to be this really overwhelming acceptance of mediocrity, a tolerance of mediocrity. And again, I'm not telling somebody what they should be like in terms of their personality. Bill Belichick is very tacit. Bill Belichick does not scream and shout, but boy, there is an intensity in what Bill Belichick said. And even though he didn't get like animated and flamboyant after a loss, you could tell he was really upset. I can't tell if Dennis Allen is really upset. Now, I don't want to speculate, but if your job is never affected, if your salary is never affected by a loss, I mean, I know there are bonuses if you get to the playoffs, but I don't know. I don't think it's in, and again, everybody has a right to be who they are, but it just seems like in the face of some really horrific losses, Dennis Allen just seems to be particularly calm at a time when, you know, as a sports fan, as a Saints fan, I'd like to see a little passion. Ian, let's do that first highlight that we have from the Saints game yesterday. And so, you know, last night the Saints were moving the ball. Now, I thought this was kind of a bold move. Years ago, when a team won the toss, they accepted the ball. They wanted the ball first. The recent trend has been to get the ball at the beginning of the second half, to choose to let the other team start with the ball. You know, you want to get out there, you want to get warmed up. I like that the Saints said, no, we want the ball first. I mean, I thought that was kind of a passive-aggressive thing, and I like that. And the Saints are moving the ball, and things looked really great during their first possession, and then this happened.
First down at the Kansas City 39, first drive. Back to throw, pressure up the A-gap, and Carr just lost it up, and that's going to be intercepted by Brian Cook. Not sure if he was touched. The referees have not blown the whistle. Cook down the left sideline, midfield, 40, 30. He may score unless...
Stepped out.
What in the world?
Well, one official, they marked him down. His hand touched back here. It was a jump ball, but when he went up, he touched out of bounds. His body touched out of bounds, and so no official is running up the field.
The ruling on the field is an interception by the defense. The runner was down by contact. It's first down, Kansas City.
Okay. Derek Carr has been in the game for a long time. You don't throw up the ball. You don't do that. There are too many ways to throw it out of bounds. And if you can't succeed at just throwing the ball away, then, you know, you're going to be the target of criticism, and justifiably so. He couldn't even throw the ball away. That was the turning point. And the Saints didn't seem to recover after that. Here's something else that I haven't heard mentioned a lot. Derek Carr made some notes last night. Let me get those notes. So Derek Carr was quarterback for the Raiders. The Raiders and the Chiefs are big rivals. So Derek Carr has been at Arrowhead Stadium numerous times. And I can't find my notes. I want to say that in all the times that he's been at Arrowhead Stadium, Derek Carr has only won three times. Only had three victories against the Chiefs. Now, if anybody wants to correct me, if I'm wrong on this, I'm not a stats guy. So if there's something about this that is not right, please correct me. That's okay. But I think Derek Carr has only won three times when playing against the Chiefs. And he's been in Arrowhead Stadium a lot. You know what I think? I think Derek Carr walked into that stadium and was subconsciously intimidated. I think he was intimidated, and I think on a subconscious level, and I'm just speculating here, this is just my opinion, but psychiatrists will tell you that this is a factor, that people do remember things, and that our subconscious self has a lot to do with directing our conscious self. And so I think Derek Carr walked into that stadium intimidated. And so what does he do? This big play and the first possession just throws the ball up. You don't do that. I know not to do that. I mean, I played football until the ninth grade, so I don't consider myself to be a football player. But as little as I played, I know you don't do that. And I have watched the game like many of you, and we've watched college, and we've watched the NFL, and we have seen that nothing good comes from just throwing the ball up in the air. And I don't know what the stats are, but quite often it turns out to be an interception. And you can't give a team like Kansas City that kind of advantage that early in the game. And I think that touched the psyche of Derek Carr and the Saints.
This is a really good theory. I think you're spot on. I have a different idea. I have a different take here. I think he was trying to throw the ball to Taylor Swift.
I mean, what other explanation He's trying to get some tickets. He's trying to get some tickets to Taylor Swift for his family. So he thought, I'll just give her the ball. And my first possession, I'll just lob it way up there into the suite.
Well, he might as well have been trying to throw it to her. I mean, that's how close he was to, you know, getting it. But I mean, it's so easy to throw the ball out of bounds that this is something that no seasoned quarterback should ever fail at. I mean, you shouldn't fail at this. And this is a fundamental mistake. And I want all of you to think about what you do in your job. There are fundamental mistakes that you can't make. And you've learned not to make those fundamental mistakes. If you make those fundamental mistakes, it's going to cost you. In your job, it's going to cost you. And this was one of those fundamental mistakes. And I think Derek Carr walked into that stadium, and I think he was snake bit. I think he was snake bit by his record. And I'm gonna find that here in just a moment. I've got a bunch of notes in front of me here, so I know I've got it here. But I forget what it was. In fact, somebody can text it in. But I think Derek Carr, of all the times that he played against the Chiefs, I think he only had 3 victories. So even though he was with the Saints, he's got a subconscious history. He's got body memory. You know, your body remembers things, even if you don't consciously remember things. And psychiatrists will tell you that. All right, if you want to join us with a comment this afternoon, the Oakenheart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. 504-260-1870. Okay, so the Saints, yeah, it was a bad night for the Saints. But in particular, let's dedicate this to Derek Carr. Now, you know, Bobby Hebert has always been very, very prominent in saying that to those who are given much, much is expected. I'm not picking on Derek Carr, but he's the quarterback. He's the leader of the team on the field. And this, to me, was one of those mistakes that is hard to forgive. It wasn't just like, oh, it was a mistake. No, you don't throw the ball up for grabs. It's not something you do. It's too easy to throw the ball away. I'm Scoot, and we'll be right back on WWL. You know, Amita, the Saints not meant to be champions? Look, it's early in the season, but you know, this is when most teams determine what kind of season they're going to have. The Saints are 2-3. That's not that bad. There are some good teams out there that have even worse records than the Saints. So the Saints are not out of it. But I don't sense that after a loss like last night on Monday Night Football, I don't sense that there's any kind of alarm going off with the coaching staff, with the Saints, with the players. I don't sense that there's an alarm going off to make things better. All right, look, here was a really great moment for Derek Carr. In the second quarter, the Saints were able to put points on the board. This was a touchdown pass. It was a perfect pass from Derek Carr to Rashid Shaheed.
Carr back to throw on second down. Has time, looking deep, and he's got Rashid Shaheed. And Rashid Shaheed says, see you later, by touchdown for New Orleans. Man, was he open. Couldn't wait for that ball to get there. It's a 43-yard strike.
All right, at that point, the Chiefs were leading the Saints 10-7. So things were good. But you know what I wrote down right before that touchdown pass to Rashid? I wrote down Derek Carr overthrew wide receiver, wide open receiver. And then another series, Derek Carr overthrows Rashid Shaheed, the Saints punted. So there were a lot of overthrown balls by Derek Carr. And I found my notes. Derek Carr against the Chiefs, Derek Carr is 3-14. Now, again, if I'm wrong on this stat, please correct me. But I've got here 3-14 in his career against the Kansas City Chiefs because he was a quarterback with the Raiders. And the Raiders and the Chiefs are big rivals. So this was always a big game, the Chiefs and the Raiders. So I think Derek Carr subconsciously went into that game feeling like, oh, my God, I've only beaten this team three. I don't think he consciously thinks it, but I think Derek Carr was, I think he was intimidated from the very beginning. And then, you know, that first moment where he throws up the ball, the first possession, and it's intercepted. You know, you just can't do that and expect to win games. All right, it seemed like the Saints might get things going again, might get a second win. This was after a big interception by Colin Saunders.
P. Ryan and Hunt flank Holmes, who's out of the shotgun. Takes the snap, fakes it. That ball is picked off! Picked off by the Saints on the near side.
I guess who it is.
Colin Saunders, just hold on to it, big guy, but keep going all the way down across the 35. The ball was tipped near the line of scrimmage, and Colin Saunders makes the interception, and wow, what a turn of events.
Man, I've seen defensive backs with sure hands not grab a ball that's in the air. So Saunders, you know, doing that, I mean, he was on target. He snagged that ball, and he's running, and I love the way Mike Haas is telling him, just hold on to that ball. Man, he was just rambling down the field. All right, so then Derek Carr hit Foster Moreau. This was for a short touchdown pass.
Probably worked your tight end. I don't know if you can hold up well enough against Chris Jones as well, so you may have to move it to pocket.
Under center is Carr, deep back is Kamara. Snap, play action, looks, now he needs to get rid of it. Throwing it for Foster Moreau, and that's a touchdown in the corner of the end zone. Doucette, the tight end's got to show up. The tight end did. Foster Moreau with the touchdown. Perfect pass from Carr. Sent Kamara to the left, down the sideline, went Moreau.
Yeah, I mean, Derek Carr had some good moments, but overall it was not a good game for him. He left the game with about 6 minutes left in the game, and the Saints would not score again. All right, if you want to join us, the Oakenheart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. I'm Scoot. Glad you're with us on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. Don't let the loss last night affect your mood. Let's go to the North Shore. Don, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey, thank you for taking my call, Scoot. I got to tell you. When you were talking about the Bruce Springsteen and Taylor Swift, all of them people, it's real simple. There's only one band I know of that I expect or would like to hear political rhetoric at a concert. The rest of them, I don't want to hear it. I paid to hear you play music, and that's Pink Floyd. And that's only because Pink Floyd's entire music genre is nothing but politics.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I think that's fair, Don. And then, you know, I mentioned earlier that Bruce Springsteen has endorsed Kamala Harris. Not a surprise. A lot of conservatives love his music. It's easy for conservatives to be mad at Taylor Swift because a lot of conservatives don't like her. So if she endorses Kamala Harris, it's not a big deal. But I wonder if it's a struggle for some Bruce Springsteen fans to, you know, after he does this, maybe they take a break from his music for a while.
I don't think so. I mean, probably some, but I'm a conservative. And I can tell you right now, I don't care if he came out and endorsed Donald Trump and kissed and washed his feet. When I go to the Bruce Springsteen concert, I want to hear Bruce Springsteen music. Other than that, I really don't care what Bruce Springsteen thinks about politics.
But Don, if you go to the concert and look, there are many conservatives who are so personal with their politics that they really hold it against people who don't agree with them. And so you go to a Bruce Springsteen concert, let's say he doesn't mention politics at all, but you know he's endorsed Kamala Harris. Does that ever change your opinion of him? I doubt that it does with you. It wouldn't with me, but I think for a lot of people, it changes their opinion of the person.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. I don't have an opinion of the person. I have an opinion of the music. I love the music. I want to hear the music. Yeah. When I go to a concert or a football game or Disney World, right, I go there to escape reality. That includes politics. I don't go there to be immersed into reality. I want to leave reality for a few minutes.
Yeah, and then, because that's all you're gonna, that's all you're only going to get away for a few minutes, because you know you get back in the car to go back to your hotel, and you know you might be bombarded by talk radio. Don, I do appreciate the call. Let's go to New Orleans. Anthony, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey, how you doing, Scoot, today?
Good.
No, Jim Moore said this on television. The only difference in that game was the difference in the two quarterbacks, right? The Saints knew this about Derek Carr for the last year or two, that Derek Carr can't handle pressure. He played good sometimes, but it's when he makes his mistakes, right? The defense is giving Derek Carr too many chances to win games, and he can't win games. It's all the difference in the quarterback. But yet the Saints know that Rattler is a better quarterback than both of them two quarterbacks that they have there, but they refuse to play Rattler. Why? Rattler would not crack up under pressure. He will run out of the pocket just like Mahomes doing.
So tell me why they don't play Rattler. I was surprised.
Like Mahomes doing.
You know, I didn't see every moment of every preseason game, but what I saw of Rattler impressed me more than what I saw of Haener. So why don't the Saints play Rattler?
There you go. Why won't they play Rattler?
You tell me why.
So that's a question for the ownership and the coaching system.
But tell me why you think. Why do you think?
Why they won't play Rattler?
Why do you think they don't play?
I mean, you'd rather take a losing season with Carr, right,
okay,
and have people keep arguing over Carr, right, than play Rattler.
All right, Anthony, you obviously don't want to answer the question, but, you know, again, you know, what I saw during the preseason, I thought Rattler was more impressive than Haener. But again, I admit I did not see every moment of every preseason game. I also know that the Saints assess these players in training camp, and they see things that you and I don't see. So maybe Haener has shown them something that, you know, that I'm not seeing. But I wasn't impressed with Haener last night. Of course, he's in a pretty tough situation. And at that point, you know, the defense can, you know, can just send all the players in to, you know, to get him. But I thought that Rattler showed a little better fit with the NFL today than Haener. But again, that's just my opinion. And because of the oblique injury to Derek Carr, Haener, or Rattler, but it looks like it's going to be Haener, may start this Sunday in the Caesar Superdome against the Tampa Bay Bucks. If you're on hold, stay with us. If you want to join us with a comment this afternoon, we're talking about the Saints and another game they lost that they didn't have to lose. If they had gone down tooth and nail fighting to the end and lost, okay, it's the Kansas City Chiefs at Arrowhead Stadium. That's understandable. But it's the way the Saints lost. And it's the way they have lost these three games. The Saints could be 5-0, but they're not. Why are they not 5-0? All right, if you've got a comment, the Okanagan Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. You know, we're still watching this monster storm, Hurricane Milton, in the Gulf heading to Florida, and people are packing up right now because they are trying to get out of there. In fact, there's one official along the Florida coast who's saying, if you stay, you will die. And that is a strong possibility. That's how bad this storm is and how bad the storm surge is going to be. But also, I want to make a point about my observations over the years that news is entertainment and that the news media gives us what we want as opposed to what we need. And I'm going to use Hurricane Milton as a way of explaining what I mean. I've talked about this a lot, but we're going to use the hurricane to talk about this. I'm Scoot. Hang on. We'll be right back on WWL. Hey, did you see Travis Kelce's new hairdo? Okay, so he let the buzz cut grow out. I think this is really worth a discussion. Travis Kelce's new hairdo. Now, do you think one night, Taylor, Travis together, and Taylor says, Travis, why don't you just let it grow out just a little bit? You know, keep the sides close, buzz cut, but let the top grow out a little bit. I wonder if there's a little Taylor influence there. And then the other hair that we can also talk about, Joe Burrow's hair. What about those blonde tips? I like it. You like his new hair? And you know, we talk about the Saints being 2-3. I mean, look at the Cincinnati Bengals with Joe Burrow. They're not doing so well right now. So there are other teams in situations that are similar to the Saints in terms of the record. Some are even worse than the Saints. But I don't, you know, I guess the thing that kind of discourages me is that I don't sense a wholesale concern for where the Saints are and what it's going to take to get better, other than we need to practice, we need to do this. I mean, it's the same stuff, and I don't know if that's good enough to knock the Saints to the next level. And as Saints fans, you know, you and I always want to feel like the Saints have a shot at the playoffs. It doesn't mean they're going to get there, because there are a hell of a lot of teams that never make it to the playoffs. And certainly more teams don't even get to the opportunity to play in the Super Bowl. So that's not something you can be guaranteed. But as Saints fans, we always want the feeling that we've got a chance of getting there. And I know that there's you know, word salad out there that says, yes, we're dedicated to getting there. But I don't know if I hear that. I mean, I hope I'm wrong. But I just it just seems like there's a lot of complacency after losses that doesn't seem like it's the kind of motivation that's going to lead to the changes that need to take place. And as I said at the beginning, I think Derek Carr, 3-14 against the Raiders. 3-14 against the Chiefs, because he was a Raiders quarterback. I think he went into that game, and I think subconsciously he may have been a little intimidated. Now, of course, he's never going to say that, but you just don't throw the ball up for an interception. You don't do that. There's too many ways to throw the ball away. All right, let's go to Michael in Metairie. Michael, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey, Stu, how's it going? First of all, a little note to Dan. Springsteen has been a liberal proponent for at least 20 years. He backed Obama, Hillary, and Biden. That's nothing new.
Yeah, no, it's not.
Okay, secondly, I agree with you on that subconscious thing about football players. In fact, I made a lot of money. In fact, early this year, I told you the Saints had no chance to play good after that overwhelming victory on the Cowboys. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do.
And one of the guys said, well, you can't go by psychological things. One of those idiots on the West Bank. But it knocked me. But anyway, here's the deal. What's his name? A Carr. I call him AAA, Carr Trouble. But anyway, he is a little bit better than an average quarterback. And for us to spend $150 million, as soon as we did that, I started screaming, why didn't we keep Jameis, who is almost as good as Carr, and get an offensive line in free agency for the $150 million? You'd have had a nice team. Poor Carr, I feel sorry for him. He's got no chance with that Swiss cheese offensive line.
Well, that's a problem, too. You know, you can't ever predict the injuries, and that's something that can affect any team. Let's go to Slidell. Eric, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Yes. As I was saying, you made the statement about Rattler being better. Last night...
No, I just, based on what I saw, I saw some things in him that I thought is a better fit for the NFL today, but I said I could be wrong because I didn't see it all.
Well, from what I saw and from other people that I spoke with about it, he's a better fit, as you said. Haner's not bad as accuracy, but I think Rattler's a little better, and Rattler can move better. Okay, last night on that run, I think Rattler wouldn't have been struggling to get a first down. They might have had to stop him from trying to get in the end zone. That's my opinion. But this is my second time calling in on the show. I called last year, and I don't know if you remember, I made the statement about Dennis Allen playing favorites with Derek Carr, that he had him there and with the Raiders, and he came here, and I told you that other teams, when their starting quarterback went out, when they were healthy, they came back and regained their position, and I named quite a few teams. Dennis Allen never gave Jameis Winston a fair shot, just like the guy you got off. He said Jameis Winston was just as good, and in my opinion, was better, just as good or better than Carr. But he never got a chance when he got healthy. And when Carr went out last year, he put Taysom in that. Now, Taysom's a stopgap. He's not a quarterback, okay? And I made the statement then, and I didn't want to make it racial, but I told you I think it's a little racial why he didn't play Jameis. And now you have Rattler, and you asked the question why you thought he played better from what you saw. A lot of people think that, but he's going with Haener. To me, Rattler's the better quarterback. So to me, it goes into a little racism. And also, the offense is playing better now because of Kubiak, okay? If the team turns around, all the praise is going to go to Dennis Allen, where it's going to be basically, and look at it, is going to be the offensive coordinator to change. And I'm saying it because in the beginning of the year, all of the coaches, he was voted the worst coach out of 32 coaches. That says something when you voted the worst coach out of 32.
Well, I don't know about that particular survey. Eric, I'm glad you called, but I've got to get to a break here. I do not think racism is involved. I think it's a coincidence that the players are the races that they are. I'd like to think that racism is not a factor. But when a coach says, no matter what, this quarterback is our starting quarterback, no matter what, that tells me that there's some kind of unofficial deal that is made with a quarterback that no matter what, you're the starting quarterback. I don't think anybody should have a job no matter what. You either do the best job or you don't get the job or you don't keep the job. That's the way it should be in every aspect of our society, but maybe that's not the way it is. I don't know. On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar, on this day in 1990, the Go-Go's posed for their first rather go naked than wear fur protest for PETA. Sorry I missed that. I'm Scoot. We'll be back on WWL. Okay, we've been talking about the Saints' loss. It's not pretty. It's very discouraging. But, you know, it's one of those things. The Saints are 2-3. Other teams are in worse positions. We may not have our starting quarterback for this week. We'll have to wait and see. There'll be a lot of second-guessing going on today, so tune in to Bobby Hebert and Mike Dettillier live from the Silver Slipper Casino, your host on the coast in Bay St. Louis. They'll talk about that at 4 o'clock from 4 to 8 this afternoon on Sports Talk, the second-guest show. And then coming up in the next hour, we got to interject some politics here. And over the years, Saturday Night Live has been criticized for being very, very liberal and beating up on Trump. But is that really the case? Because now they're being criticized for beating up on Harris. We'll talk about that coming up. I'm Scoot. This is WWL.